Only a few times has my gorgeous wife Carol preached at New Hope, because she's often out running the kids' church or New Hope Care or working in women's ministry or doing something else. But I just really feel it's important for you guys to hear her heart. She is going to be preaching on love today, and I think it's the perfect title or the perfect theme for her sermon, because how many of you know that this is a woman who shows love? I can honestly say, you know, Carol and I met when I was about 27, 28. I really did not know how to love or what love was until I met Carol. I can honestly say that. I'd been through a marriage and a divorce. I've been raised in a family where there was a certain amount of love, but it was a fairly distant kind of a love, a shallow kind of a love, I guess. You know, my family's growing in that love and they're awesome, you know, but I just didn't know what really how to love people. And when I met Carol, I just saw someone who loved her family, her friends, who loved everyone with so much love. And, you know, it's a God kind of love that she has. And she's going to be sharing on that today. And I think it's just such a blessing to have her share today. So why don't we stand to our feet and honor my beautiful wife, Carol Prater. Woohoo! Give her a hand.
Thanks, honey. Wow, that's nice, sweetie. You must love me. Well, this is a pretty massive subject, and it's very hard to, when you start thinking about talking about God's love, it's pretty hard to just get it into one little message, because really I think we could talk about God's love every day, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and still not get it. You know, I think it's so massive. So I'm just apologizing in advance, because the Lord knows I'm going to miss things out, but he knows that you'll get bored if I keep going on, because we're not in China, in the house churches there, or in Russia, where they have church all day and all night. You guys have to get home and have your lunch, so I'll try to keep it, you know, small. But God is love. God is love. God is love. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for your great, great love. Come and pour it out on us. Holy Spirit, fill us today. Give us revelation about how much you love us. So Father, I pray that anything within our hearts that stops us from believing in your love, I pray that today you would set us free to know the truth of your great love, in Jesus' name, amen. And I'm a crier, so that's all part of the entertainment, my tears. Good thing that Annie has the tissues up here to keep me. Thank you, Annie. All right, so again, God is love. I am a Sunday school teacher. We sing a song in Sunday school. Wide, wide as the ocean. High as the heavens above, deep, deep as the deepest sea is my Savior's love. God is love. And if you believe, or if you've believed something other than that, it's a lie. God loves you so much that he sent his son to die on the cross. He is so full of love. We can't even get it. It's big. It's great. It's massive. So today I want a fresh revelation for you that God is love. God is love. God is love. You're going to be sick of hearing it, but you can't get sick of hearing it. It's the best message ever. It's the best message ever. You know, there's nothing that you've done, there's nothing that you can do to not receive God's love. In Romans 5:8, it says that whilst we were still sinners, Christ died for us. It's beautiful. He loves you. He loves us in our sin. He loves us when we're good. He loves us when we're bad. He loves us all the time. We can't stop getting loved by God. And I know that how much he's loved me. But anyway, I won't go on about that now. But often I have not been an extension of God's love. Matt says I'm loving. I am, but I'm not always loving. I'm not always kind and gracious and sweet. Sometimes I'm mean and angry and cross, mostly at my husband and my kids, but other people as well, you know. But God wants me to love the way that he's loved me. He wants me to love others that way. So that's a bit what today's about. So I'm going to talk about some of God's loves, just to explain that this agape love that I'm talking about today, it's over and above and through all of those loves. So we know about falling in love love. Has everyone here fallen in love? Yeah, me, I have. Well, that's not agape love. That's called eros love. It's where we get the word erotica from, or erotic from. And then it's actually probably a good subject you could preach on sometimes, honey. You know, we know that eros feeling, it's called eros love, that comes and goes. You know, when you have your first argument with your husband, some eros love leaks out. and then I have to ask Jesus to give me some more eros love for my husband. Then there is storge love, which is what Jesse mentioned before. Storge love is our love for our children and our families. So that's a great love. They're all great loves. They're all from God, but these are the Greek words for them. Then there is friendship love. I love my friends. I love Annie. She's one of my best friends. I think everyone here is my best friend. You're all my best friends. That is called phileo love. Also from Jesus. They're all from Jesus. But the one I'm going to talk about today is agape. And it describes God's perfect, perfect love. His pure, supernatural, pure love. Agape is the very nature of God. It is, for God is love. Matt said 1 John 4. So we often think of love as a feeling, but this is not the case with agape love. Agape love is of because of what it does, not how it feels. You know, we talked about, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son. I imagine it felt good for God to give his only son to die on the cross. I don't know. I'm a mum. I'm sure Dad, I don't think Father God, Papa God felt good about having to send his son Jesus to die on the cross. But it's something that had to be done. And you know what? It was the most loving thing to do. So Christ gave his life. Do you think he wanted to die? No. I don't think Jesus wanted to die. It says that he cried tears of blood. But he died because it's what God wanted him to do. So he did what the Father wanted him to do. And I'm a mum, I care for my sick kids. And in fact, this week, my little baby Grace has been sick all week. And I have had about three sleepless nights. And agape love is, it's that kind of love that you stay up at night with your baby to care for them, your little girl to care for them. Not because you want to. Not because you want to. But that's the true act of agape love. I can only love that way with God loving through me. I can't love that way any other way. So let's put up some points about Annie. Annie's my PA. Thank you, Annie. So it's the power. Annie, PowerPoint. So this is what agape love is. It is not a natural love. It's a supernatural love. Agape is not dependent upon our human understanding, our human emotions, or our human desires. Agape is not dependent upon others' responses. It's not dependent upon our circumstances. It's only dependent upon God and his faithfulness. And four characteristics of God's love is it's unconditional because it loves no matter what. It's one-sided because it doesn't have to be returned in order to be kept alive. Isn't that beautiful? I don't have to love God back. He's going to keep loving me no matter what. And it's freeing because it frees the person loving from expectations. It's other-centered because it puts others before itself. And other significant attributes of agape is it exposes the sin of the one being loved. It never fails. His love never fails. It never gives up. It includes unconditional forgiveness. Now, this is my favorite verse in the Bible. I think all of them are my favorite, but this is my all-time favorite. And mostly they have this at weddings, right? Honey, is that right? But it describes God's perfect love. Let's read it. If I speak in the tongues of men or of angels but do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains but do not have love, I am nothing. Nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I may boast, but I do not have love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, and always perseveres. Love never fails. But where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part. But when completeness comes, what is in part disappears. And when I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put the ways of childhood behind me. And now we see only a reflection as in a mirror. Then we will see face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know fully, just as I am fully known. And now these three things remain. This is my favorite part. Faith, hope, and love. But what is the greatest of these? Love. Love is the greatest gift of all. You know what God's saying is without his love, without his love, this is what he's trying to tell us here. All the intellectual knowledge in the world, all the supernatural power, all the gifts that we have will mean nothing without love. You know, sometimes don't we get carried away with all those other things? But God says without love, it's a waste of time. You know, sadly, I'm talking from my own perspective, we recognize this God love a bit too late, don't we? You know, we go about seeking after fortune. I did, you know. I had great jobs. I worked in some of the biggest corporate companies in this country. Canon, a Japanese company. I worked there for 10 years. I had a really important job there, you know, important in the world's eyes. I worked for Optus. I had a very important job for Optus. But you know what? It was meaningless. It wasn't that having the jobs was meaningless, but in my pursuit of that above God, that was meaningless. Because I wasn't really caring for God at that time. I was off on my little, you know, rebellious streak. Anyway, that's a very long story, my rebellious streak. But you know what is so good about rebellion is that God loves you even when you're rebellious. God loves you when you're, I say to my children, you're naughty sometimes. And he loves you even when you're naughty. Even when you do bad things, he loves you. And I just wanted to share a story of when I was in my naughty state. I'd been brought up in the church and I was running away from God at full speed, 100 kilometers and as fast as I could. And I was in, is Mike and Rach here? I was in Scotland. Oh, sorry, I was in England and I was in London and I thought, you know, I'm going to catch a bus up to Edinburgh. And I was not close to God at this time. In fact, like I said, I was on the bus trying to get away. So I'm on this bus all by myself and it was packed. Everyone hops on in London. We're off to Edinburgh, well, off to wherever. And it was one of those rickety old buses, you know, not like a big coach like the Broncos have. It was like a pretty old coach. And I thought, oh, geez, I hope this makes it. Because it was that bad. And long story short, I ended up getting to Glasgow, which is a long way from London on an old bus. And Rach, you listening? This is about Scotland. And I got to Glasgow and I was a little bit scared when I got to Glasgow because lots of people got off the bus and I was still on the bus with maybe about 4 other people and I was thinking, oh, I really don't know what I'm doing. Why am I on this bus? Where am I going? Why am I going here? And I was trying to be adventurous. But anyway, I ended up getting closer to Edinburgh and it was getting really dark and I was getting a little bit frightened. And I'm not a frightened kind of person. I'm a bit sort of, I'm not scared usually. I'm strong and courageous. But I was pretty scared and I was thinking, I don't even know where I'm sleeping. I don't know where I'm sleeping tonight. And it's really dark and I don't know anybody. And anyway, I got getting closer to Edinburgh, there's 2 bus drivers on the bus. And one of them said, do you have a place to stay? And then I was thinking, can I trust this guy? What's he suggesting? But anyway, I said, actually, I don't really have a place to stay. I don't know. And he said, that's all right, love. We'll find you a place. There's an old lady in town. And she lost her husband recently and she takes people in. And the long and the short of it is I got to stay in this most beautiful little house with this most awesome lady who just, it was honestly like arriving in Cinderella's palace, you know, like she had the bedroom made up for a princess and it was just so beautiful. The reason I mention it is because that, you know, the Holy Spirit was with me. That he was ever present. As much as I was running from him, he was holding on to me. And he's like, oh, I love this girl. And you know, he's reminded me of this. He said, remember on that bus? I was there. You know those bus drivers? I was with them. You know the lady that you stayed with? I was there. That is how big God's love is. He chases us. Like Matt said last week, he's a jealous God. He wants to be close to us. And it's a little story about me, but it's his massive love for me. He chases us. He loves us. And even in my rebellion, in your rebellion or in your sin or whatever, he chases you more. He's not as interested in me now. Of course he is. But, you know, he goes after the lost. He goes after the lost. Anyway, so what about human love? I heard a sermon by Nancy Missler, who I love, Nancy and Chuck Missler. And she was saying that she thinks that human love is the opposite to God's love. And she used Corinthians, that Corinthians verse, and she said, human love is not patient. Human love is not kind. It is always envious. It does boast. It is proud. It does dishonor others. It is self-seeking. It is easily angered. It does keep a record of wrongs. Human love does delight in evil. It rarely rejoices with the truth. It rarely protects, rarely trusts, rarely hopes, and rarely perseveres. That's the exact opposite of what we read before. Now, that might seem like a fairly harsh analysis, do you think? But I don't know. I think it's true of me a lot. Do you think it's true of you? Yeah. You know, I just was saying to Cecily earlier, praying, I've been watching the Olympics, and it's certainly true of people, the media. If you don't win a gold, it's disastrous. What? That you even get to the Olympics is fabulous. But you're made to feel that it's not, you know, it's self-seeking, isn't it? It's mean. You know, when someone breaks your heart or says something nasty to you, do you just love like God's love? Do you not? You know, scripture tells us that in our flesh dwells no good thing. Only if we dwell in God and He in us will we be able to produce agape love. You know, it's not automatic, even for Christians. We don't give our lives to God and we automatically get His agape love. We have to ask Him continually for it. We have to be willing to be cleansed vessels every day and say, God, I cannot love like You, but give me that ability. Give me that ability. You know, I'm a very slow learner. I'm a bit daft, but I'm learning every day to ask God to renew me every day with His love so that I can love others. Because when I start loving anybody here in my own strength, that's when I'm not loving, I'm not kind, I'm not patient, I'm not anything good. So when we love with human love, our love will be based upon how we feel and what we think. Because we know everything, right? I don't know. I know everything. Don't you, Krista? Krista knows everything too. We know everything. So, you know, when we know everything, our love is easily quenched. But when we ask God to reveal everything, it's easier to love. So God's love is unconditional and based only upon God. He is always faithful no matter what happens, how we feel, how we respond, what our circumstances are. God will love through us if we are simply open. We have to choose to be yielded to God. Now my favorite preacher ever says this. John Wimber's his name. He's not with us anymore, but he's a dearly beloved man. God wants you. Are you hearing me? What God wants is all of you. All of you. He wants to consume you. Consume you with His love. In that process, you will serve. Service is good, but your service won't count for much if it isn't done with a giving of self, with a yielding of your inner person and all that you're about. That's what God calls us to, a life of giving of ourselves. You know, loving and living this way is the best life you can live. I better hurry up, didn't I? Because you didn't give me much time. Because you were talking. So, because he talks a lot, hey? It's hard to get a word in. So anyway, why do we need God's love? Having God's love in our life is the whole meaning and purpose of our Christian walk. It means everything. The Bible says that God has called us to be Christians for two reasons, to love Him and to love others. That's it. That if you think you don't have to get that complicated with the Word of God, that is our call, to love God and to love others. We're not called to be Christians just to be happy and content with ourselves, but we're to be vessels and channels of God's love. Why did God pour out all this love? Just to waste it? To see it spill? He wants us to pass it on. 1 Timothy 1:5 says, agape is the goal of our instruction and the fulfillment of all God's word in us. In other words, the whole Bible is summed up in our personally knowing on and passing on God's love. Okay? That's it. That's what I mean. We could preach on God's love every day, every second, every hour, and it still wouldn't be enough because it's everything. God's love is everything. Mother Teresa said, we can't do great things for God, only small things with great love. Don't you love Mother Teresa? She's a sweetie. She'll be with Jesus now. Anyway, Christianity is unique in that it is a religion of love. Christianity has the answers that everyone is so desperate for. You know what it is? Jesus. Jesus. God has called us as believers to be his, to partner as workers with him, to be his laborers. You know, it says co-laborers, co-workers in the Bible, but we're to partner with God to spread the gospel of his love to others. Our lives as Christians then are not just something to be enjoyed or derive happiness from. That it's for that too, but it's for the extension of the gospel. In 1 John 3:14 it says, he that loveth not abideth in death. This means if we're not loving, we're dying. Isn't that so true? We've got to love people, you know, really love them. Otherwise, we're just dying inside. We're dying because we're separated from the true meaning of our lives. It's the whole meaning of everybody's life. And this is my all-time favorite one, the next point. Another reason God's love is so important in our lives is because God's love is the only way others will know and see that we are indeed Christians. This is the thing that sets us apart. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. Come on, with some happy faces. Who loves somebody here? Who loves somebody in this place? This is where the love's got to be the strongest, the deepest. You know, wide is the ocean, high is the heavens above, deep is the deepest sea. That's the love we have for one another. You know, I love the people in this church. They encourage me. They love me. You know, Rob sent me a beautiful email this week to encourage me. Rachel sends me texts. Everybody here blesses me. So they encourage me, you know, like Jan comes to visit me. We go out for lunch. That's what Christian brothers and sisters do. We spend time together. We encourage one another. We lift each other up. But don't you reckon that sometimes we look around here, I don't know, at our church, at our family, our friends, and there's kind of dying for a lack of love. You know, sometimes we get caught up in all the do's and don'ts of what we've got to do. We've got to read the word of God. We've got to prophesy. We've got to do this. We've got to do that. But we forget about love. We look at signs and wonders. All these things are so important. They're so important. They're great. But, you know, love is the foundation for all of them. If we'll see more signs and wonders. We'll see more prophecy. We'll see more healing. We'll see more deliverance when we love more with God's love. How can we honestly be spirit-filled and not love-filled? You know, we want a baptism of the Holy Spirit. But how can we have that if we don't have love? You know? I feel like I'm preaching to myself. Is anyone feeling the love? Anyway, but I guess sometimes I ask, I guess because I love so much, and I haven't arrived with love, but I ask, where is the love? This is where it should be more than anywhere. This is where we should be That's why I love hugging everybody, and that's why I love going to visit Pastor Wayne in Hawaii, because everyone there hugs and kisses. It's a kiss and love-a-thon. Everyone's, oh, kissing, love it, you know, and they can't, and they lay down their lives for you. That's how we are here. We should do more of that. We should give whatever we have to whoever needs it. That's what love is. God's love is the glue that holds everything together. And it's missing. You know, 1 John 2:4 says, "And he says, I know him and keeps not my command to love one another, is a liar. And the truth is not in him." And this is the best part. God's love just doesn't fall out of heaven. I wish it did. But it doesn't. It comes through us. When we ask Jesus into our heart, we receive all the absoluteness of him. But then we have to... we're extensions of God. We are God's kingdom. It's in me. It's in you. We have to love. God needs willing bodies, arms and legs to pour his love through. You know, I love reading the Bible more than any of you. I love praying more than any of you. I love speaking in tongues more than any of you. There's some giggle, so that's a good thing. But the whole purpose of the Bible is not to become more scholarly, but to become more loving. Only Jesus' love through us in our actions will bring our families, our husbands, our wives, our children, our neighbors, our bosses to the feet of Jesus. Since God is love, the only way these people will know that we are indeed Christians is by the real love that comes from us. It's interesting to me that non-believers, they know the real thing. They spot a phony a mile off. Do you know that? They can see right through a phony Christian. So often God must not only combat an unbelief in people, but he's also got to unravel all the damage other so-called Christians have done. And that's the saddest thing of all. So when asked what the greatest obstacle to Christianity was in India, Mahatma Gandhi answered, "Other Christians." That's so true. I met the most remarkable man ever. Someone I love so much, Brother Yun. I don't know if any of you know who he is, but he's an amazing man of God. He's Chinese. He has run an underground house church movement in China many years ago, and he is one of many men that do and women that have done that, you know. And he's written books, but He's led many to Christ and seen many miracles. He is a miracle himself. But I met him here because he came to speak at this church. And I thought, he calls himself the heavenly man. And I thought I had arrived in heaven the second we laid eyes on each other. I nearly melted on the floor. And so did he. It wasn't just him. We had such a love for each other. I'd never seen him in my whole life. I'd read his book. And I thought, what an amazing man who's given his whole life for Jesus. He's been persecuted. He's been beaten. He's had his legs broken. All because of Jesus. And you know what? He's the best lover of all. We were crying. We were hugging, he was crying, I was crying, we were crying, and it wasn't sadness, it was love. And that's the kind of love we have to share. You know, I was so overwhelmed. I just was like, oh man, it was like being in heaven that moment. Cherry, who comes here, Cherry's Chinese, and she was translating. We didn't even speak, he doesn't speak English. But a supernatural understanding between us was there. We just knew we loved each other. We didn't have to even speak it. It just, you know, Brother Yun is an awesome demonstration of someone loving. Is a man who's just given up his whole life. He had to flee China because if Chinese government is still after Brother Yun. A lot of times when he travels incognito because they want him. They want to get him and they want to make his life misery. But anyway, he's awesome. And I love him and I love all of you. But it's that kind of love we have to have for one another and for others. It's only that genuine love that's going to touch others. And I'm nearly finished, honey. Yeah. So the third point is God's love in us is also important because it proves we're abiding in God. John 15 is a wonderful chapter, totally devoted to what it means to abide in God. It says that abiding in God is simply staying in his love and constantly remaining in his presence. Wow. I can't even do that, you know, but I'm trying. But we've got to continually present our wills and our lives to him, constantly, every day, every moment, so that he can pass his love through us. You know, Jesus was the living evidence of God's mercy and compassion on those who were helpless. He went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and disease. This is the things that Jesus did. In verse 36, it states, when he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. This compassion caused him to give sight to the blind, to cleanse the leper, to feed the multitudes. And today, we're the bride of Christ. It is our job to continue to be the vessels of God's love and mercy to others. That's our whole calling. Our call is to minister mercy, compassion to the lost and poor and the sick. It isn't about converting people. It isn't about anything other than loving them. Just loving them. Since we've been doing some ministry through New Hope Care to some of the hostels and that, the first time I ever went there, I was so filled with joy. Just to be in the presence of these beautiful people. And I was driving home, I said, oh God, this is so good. Why does it feel so good? And he said, this is where I hang out. This is where I live. I live in you, but I live here too. And we were at Pindari last night and I simply cannot get enough of going there. And it's always a struggle, you know. Everything was against me this week. But you know what? I cooked the food. I got it ready. I went to Pindari with beautiful Jenny here and with a few other ladies from here. And it was awesome. There was only 8 ladies at that place at this time. But God knows how many. It's not about numbers. It's not about... But it was touching. And they were touched. And you know, you don't even have to mention Jesus because they just start doing it. This one girl, Jody, she just starts talking to me about Jesus. I never mentioned Jesus' name. I didn't even say I was a Christian. And she goes, you know, I know about Jesus. He does it. All he asks you to do is turn up and love people. But he needs our help. He says, I died for you so that you can carry on the work. You know, we've got so many ministries here where you can help. I urge you to ask God how you can help him. Not Matt and I, not anyone else but Jesus. Help him. There's New Hope Care. Brad and I want to start more Alpha courses. There's other ministries that you can come alongside to be his love to others, be an extension of his love. there's lots to do, you know, lots of work to do. I've got two more points and then I'm finished. I know it takes, oh, it's 11:11. Thank you, Jesus. So the fourth point is loving with God's love is important because it shows that we're filled with the fullness of God. The fullness of God is experiencing his life, his supernatural love, wisdom and power through us in place of our own. It's God's character in us. His image and his fullness that we're passing on, not our own. Ephesians 3:19 says we are to know the love of God that passes all understanding, that we might be filled with the fullness of God. Now I'm going to try not to cry when I share this, because I was sharing it with Matt and I was getting all emotional. But Stephen, he's in Acts 6. You can read about him. But Stephen is a wonderful example of being filled with the fullness of God. This is even hard to imagine. But when the elders and the high priest persecuted him and charged him falsely before the Sanhedrin, he was visibly full of faith and power. So here's a man being persecuted, and he's full with faith and power. And then when the people saw him, they were not able to resist the wisdom by which he spoke. And they saw his face as it had been the face of an angel. And then in Acts 7:60, as they were stoning Stephen to death, the Lord, Stephen said, Lord, lay not their sin to their charge. Stephen, at the moment that they were stoning him to death, was so full of love. They were killing him, and he was so full of love. He was full of the Holy Spirit. He could, because he was full of the Holy Spirit, he could love unconditionally. He could forgive and love them. It's just the same as Jesus. When Jesus was dying on the cross, there he was on the cross. They were hurling insults at him. They were abusing him. They were saying, kill him. What did Jesus say? He said, forgive them, for they know not what they do. That is love. That is agape love. That is the only way. Agape love. God's supernatural, powerful love. The last point that I'm finishing now. So God's love is important because it's the perfect bond of union, not only between God and me, but also between others and myself. God's love not only initiates a relationship and maintains that relationship, it continually reconciles that relationship. God's love is the only power that enables us to unconditionally forgive and forget what others have done to us. When God cleanses and heals us by his love, our wounds are not just buried and pushed down, continuing to unconsciously motivate our actions. They're literally removed completely from us. James Dobson, I don't know if you've heard of him, but he's a Christian radio psychologist. He once said to a man on the radio, this man's wife had just left him, and he said, you just forgive and forget what others have done to you and go on as if nothing ever happened. Have you ever tried to do that in your own power? It's totally impossible. On our own, we cannot rid ourselves of the hurts and wounds that we've unjustly been that have unjustly happened to us. There's no way we can. There is no way we can naturally forgive another person. Naturally. But what did I say earlier? Agape love is not natural love. It's supernatural love. There's no way we can forgive naturally. Because, you know, sometimes we think we try and then we bury our feelings deep down, build walls up, become desensitized. And you know what? Many of us live like that all the time. They don't realize that having Jesus in their hearts not only heal them and remove their wounds, but also give them the love that they need to genuinely go on as if nothing had ever happened. I got to say, because I'm running out of time, I've had horrendous things happen to me. I'm not going to share what they are right now because I'm not equipped. But I have forgiven those people that have hurt me. And I can and I have. I'm completely free. And I actually love those people. That is only possible because God's supernatural love through me. And I honestly don't hold any resentment or any hurt or any pain or anything towards anybody. Because that's what true forgiveness is. It's only able to happen through the power of God's love. And only God's love can do it. Only God's love can cleanse us, heal us, enable us to forgive others. Only His love can reconcile us. Only His love will wipe away divisions and discords. And only His love will unite us as one. The very last scripture, and I'm finished. John 17:21-23 says, I pray that they will be as one, just as you and I are one. As you are in me, Father, and I am in you. And may they be in us so that the world will believe you sent me. I have given them the glory you gave me so that they may be one as we are one. I am in them and you are in me. May they experience such perfect unity that the world will know that you sent me and that you love them just as much as you love me. How will the world know God's love if we don't demonstrate it? How? He wants us to move. You know, there's a song that Matt and I love by, can't even think of the name of the band, but they sing a song saying, I dare you to move. I dare you to lift yourself off the floor. It means, you know, we can't do all these things in our own strength, but with God's power in us, we can do all things. Father God, thank you for your great love that surpasses understanding. Thank you, God, that you sent your son Jesus to die on the cross so that we could have this agape supernatural love of yours. Thank you, God, that you have so much for us, so much more than we could hope or imagine or think or understand. Father, I pray that if there's anyone here that wants a deeper revelation of your love, Lord, I pray that you would fill them now in Jesus' name. God, pour out your love like a tsunami on each of us here. Lord, this kind of love is unstoppable, it's unbreakable, it's unfathomable. Father, will you fill us with your love? God, come in power. Pour over each one of us. Father, any pain, Lord, we just want to lay it down. If anyone's hurt us, Lord, we want to forgive them. Lord, we just want to have your supernatural love in us. Holy Spirit, come. Come, Holy Spirit. Come and fill us, Lord. Father, I pray for your revelation to come. Come, Father, come. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Come, Jesus, come. Come. I just feel like the Lord, if there's somebody here that wants to know that love that surpasses understanding, that wants a deeper sense of God's love, I just pray that at the end you would come up and I would pray with you. If you want that touch, that absolute power, that powerful love, that pure love, that supernatural love, I pray that today would be the day that He changes you from the inside out. You know, so many of us struggle in our own flesh, in our own abilities. God wants to rescue us from that. He wants us to rest in His great love. You know, He doesn't need us to do anything. He just needs us to be open. He needs us to empty out all the rubbish so that He can fill us up. So, Father God, will You just move on whoever needs Your touch? Holy Spirit, come and touch those that need to be touched in Jesus' precious name.
Just as Carol was praying then, I just felt the Lord show me this big dry desert. And you know, it was cracked and the clay and the dirt was just dry. And then I saw an eruption in the desert and springs of water erupted in the middle and it bubbled forth and then it flowed like a river. If that's your heart, if your heart's dry, you feel like you've got no love to give, you feel like you're dead inside and you need the love of God to spring up and well up and flow from within you. Jesus said, whoever believes in Me, streams of life-giving water will flow out from within. Why don't we stand to our feet? If you'd like some prayer today, just invite you to come out as we close the service now. Don't go anywhere because we've got a church lunch on shortly, and I might just pray for that before we close the service. But if you do want some prayer today to be filled with God's love, if you feel like your heart is like that desert and you need God's love to bubble up within you, I really believe that Carol, you know, when someone brings a word, they're anointed to pray for people and to see people set free today. If that's you, just come out the front as we close the service. Let's just pray as well. Father, we just thank You so much for this great word from Carol. Lord, we could see the love of Jesus shining out from within her. We pray, Lord, that as she lays hands on people and hugs people and shares with them, as we pray together now, we pray that people will be filled with Your love, that agape, unconditional, supernatural, powerful love. And Father, as we have lunch together today, we pray for Your blessing on our time of fellowship together, that we can really share love between one another. Bless the food and bless our time together. But Lord, anyone that needs that touch from You and that love from You, as they come out now, may they just be filled with Your love, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.